Welcome to Does the Team Think? With Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Siddle Fletcher, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And here to put a question to the team is Mr. George Bullock. Hello, Mr. Bullock. Your question, please.
What are the team's first thoughts on awaking in the morning?
What are the team's first thoughts on waking in the morning?
Well, I'm usually in such a confused state when I wake up in the morning. I'm never quite sure what time of the day it is.
Or where you are.
Well, I usually know where I am. You can always tell if you read the name on the flyleaf of the books. I just look down the bed and count everything.
Oh. Yeah. This is until you enter market.
No, that's right. I like to be sure all my feet are there for a start.
Well, the first thing I do is turn on the radio and see if I'm in the honours list.
Well, when you get to my age... You know, it says in the Holy Book, the days of man are 70 years. Well, when I wake up in the morning, I say, go on, lad, you're still breathing, keep at it. And I'm still at it. Isn't that good? Applause, applause.
When you say you're still at it, you're still at what, exactly?
That's it.
What I do is I get out of bed, put my socks on, open the window, let my pigeons out and have a bath.
Socks.
Yes, well, I look at the stained glass windows with these pigeons, you see.
Well, you see, if you keep your socks on, you have your bath and wash your socks at the same time.
Yes.
Well, I woke this morning and I thought, well,
you
want
to bet?
We're doing Does the Team Think tonight, and I shall meet all my old mates, Jim and Ted and Mac and Siddle.
Siddle Fletcher is.
And then I think, what these layabouts are doing, you know. Then I thought of the cheque and I thought, well, that's all right. I may as well.
There's another.
You woke up this morning. We are surprised.
I was doing the...
Jimmy night. Edwards.
I'm not going to say anything. Now you've interrupted me so often. You're all so beastly to me.
All right, if you're not going to say anything, I'll turn my attention...
Well, I will, just in case...
You would.
I will say this. No, the first thing you... Obviously, the first thing you think of in the morning is what you're going to have for breakfast. That's what I do. I tantalise myself.
You don't.
Everything
now. Is that a new thing? Is it?
I'm a tantaliser.
Oh, we're going to buy a tantal.
I thought you dealt with fertiliser, not tantaliser.
I mean, that's the finest way of getting me. When I was a kid years ago, I was very bad at getting out of bed in the morning. My mother used to pass by the door with the eggs and bacon and just let the smell come through. That would get me out of bed.
Mr. Bullock, what are your first thoughts in the morning?
Well, looking around for a cow, I should think.
What a ridiculous townsman's remark that is. A bullock doesn't need a cow.
Well, he needs it, but he can't do anything with it.
Let's turn our attention to Mr. Bullock.
Of course we ought.
Well, all you're going to say is I'm the same to you, Mr.
All right.
Bullock.
Mr. Bullock, it's your turn.
I'm no good to a cow with a name like that. And the weather's good. I get up and go in the garden or go in the park and have a swim.
You swim in your garden?
No, in Sutton Park.
Well, it
Sutton
must be
Park.
Heavy with dew.
In Sutton Park.
You swim in Sutton Park?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
In Black Root.
In where? Where's that near?
It's called Black Root.
I thought he said in Black Boots.
I thought he said he had a black
It's very, very nice.
Do you put your wellies on?
If it's a dirty day, I just reminisce.
Do you? Oh, dirty yeah. thing.
I said sport, reminisce.
Can I just ask the team what they do on a dirty day?
Yes.
Reminisce.
As a matter of fact, I like exercise, as you know. I like to play golf. Now, you said if it's a dirty day, didn't you?
Yes, if it's a dirty
day. Well, I do my exercise in the bedroom, like 24 times up and down, and then I do it with the other eye.
But I think what Mr. Bullock is trying to get at is what we think about, not what That's we right. do.
Our friend Mr. Bullock, it did occur to me that perhaps he was awakened in the morning by a splendid cock crow, which would make it a cock and bullock story.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, very Mr. Good. Bullock. Thank very you very good. Much. Hey. Well, team, as you can see, sitting on my right is a very attractive lady who answers to the name of Mrs. Hazel Davies. Hello, Mrs. Davies. Hello. What's your question, please?
Have the members of the team ever taken part in any sort of competition,
rally or talent contest? And do they feel they should have got a better result?
Have the members of the team ever taken part in any sort of competition, rally or talent contest? And do they feel they should have got a better result?
Well, I once nearly won a tennis tournament. The tennis club belonged to the church, you see. And I got to the final. But I was so excited that on the changeover, I was so excited to get on with the game, I tried to jump over the net. And I ruined my chances forever. Not only at tennis, either.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, nearly, I got a Rose Bowl.
Did you really?
Mrs. Davis, I went in for a singing competition once.
Oh, you lost.
Yes, I did. And the adjudicator said, you should have sung with more passion. And I said, well, you know, I don't believe in doing that. He said, haven't you ever loved? And I said, yes, but I wasn't singing at the same time.
It's possible.
I wouldn't have it happened today.
Well, I entered
sing with joy.
A few years ago at Blackpool, I entered a competition for the Beach Boy of the Week.
Well,
and I got
the
second prize as the Weak Boy of the Beach.
I went in for a very curious competition once.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Was it Fairy of the Month or something?
It was looking for a birthday card that wouldn't antagonise a middle-aged woman.
There was a competition for pulling the funniest face, and I won it, and I hadn't even entered.
Well, I went in for a baby competition once. My mother thought it was a good idea.
And you got first prize for hairy knees.
I didn't get the first prize for hairy knees, sir. I didn't even come in the first three. I would have won that. And it's very sad. And you know why I lost the competition?
Tell us, Ted.
Tell us, Ted.
Because I kept on crying. And you know why I cried?
Why?
Because my mother couldn't afford much and I was wearing a sandpaper nappy. I rubbed it for years, folks.
Mrs. Davis, I have to ask you this. If you had the chance to enter any of these gentlemen in a talent competition, what sort of competition would you put him in for? Hoping that he might win.
Oh, my mind's gone blank.
Right. Well, try Ted Ray.
Yes, any time.
Ignore Ted Ray.
No! No!
Try Arthur Askey.
Well, Ted Ray, I'm not sure. I think he's a grandfather. The best-looking grandfather, I think.
Oh,
very good. Lovely.
Ted, she's only entered at you. You haven't won the competition
no,
yet.
The fact that I have two ugly sons has nothing to do with it.
Thank you very much, Ted Ray. Thank you, Mrs. Davis. Thank you. And now, team, if you listen very carefully, you will hear a question put to you by Mrs. Shirley Shepherd.
What moments in their lives would the team describe as being in heaven?
You're taking a risk. What moments in their lives would the team describe as being in heaven?
Let's go through the song. Heaven, I'm in heaven.
Thank you. We will phone you. Don't ring us.
Oh, no, there might be a gag at the end of the line. I can't think how the song goes.
Yes, and the heart beats so I'm not afraid to speak. And I always have a meal once every week. And so home and it is run by Dirty Greek.
It's no good asking me to sing. I don't know the difference between God Goes the Weasel and Pop Save the King.
Well, girls tell me their idea of heaven is rolling off their roll-ons.
What?
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. My idea of heaven is to go to bed early and turn the electric blanket up to medium.
No, I think...
Then you'd be the toast of the town.
Mrs. Shepherd, what is your idea of a beautiful heaven?
Nothing to do with money at all, but my idea of heaven is of a Saturday night, my husband comes home, I cook something special, and we have a meal by candlelight.
What?
Oh, lovely.
A meal by candlelight, a brandy, cigarettes, and we're both in heaven.
You ought to do that, then. What keep the candles on and see you through the wick.
That's a very nice thing.
Only one brandy, darling, you're spoiling yourself.
You haven't got
Jimmy's idea of hell.
Mrs. Shepherd, that sounds
Have you asked Mrs. Shepherd what she'd cook her husband?
What would you cook your husband, Mrs. Shepherd?
Shepherd's
pie.
No. Very good.
What do you cook your husband for dinner, Mrs. Shepherd, when he feels when he feels when you feel like cooking him a dinner? Tell us.
What's his favourite, apart from you?
Come on.
Sirloin steak.
Sirloin steak. With a price.
She must be rich.
Oh, she is rich.
Do you know, my wife went to an Everson steak the other day and they charged her 15 pence to smell the hook.
What interests me about you, Mrs. Shepherd, is why this only happens on Saturday night. Is your husband...
Well, you see, on a Saturday night, there's a nice lay-in Sunday morning,
I know all about that. What's wrong with Monday night and having a lay-in Tuesday?
Both finished work for the week. Sunday is a day of relaxation. Saturday night...
I get the message. I think it was very nicely put. Relaxation.
Oh, dear.
Listen.
Saturday night in Shepherd's Bush. Now, let's get on with it.
Thank you, Team, very much, and thank you very much, Mrs. Shepherd. Thank you, Mrs. Shepherd. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, a familiar figure in the world of broadcasting. Direct from the BBC announcer's bike shed, it's a warm welcome to Ray Moore. Have a seat. Ray, my friend, take courage in both hands and put your question.
Right.
Right.
Can the team think of any ways to brighten up radio service announcements like news summaries, shipping forecasts, gale warnings, motoring flashes?
Can the team think of any ways to brighten up the radio service announcements like news flashes, traffic news, gale warnings, etc., etc., etc.?
I never knew you were such a great impressionist. That was just like Ray Moore.
Yes, I know. I got it in the wrong order, but never mind. Carry on. Yes.
I think you could do them in rhyme. Weather.
Yes, tell us.
No.
For a proper forecast, we heed to go out and feel our seaweed. The frost tonight will be a shocker. We suggest you lag your old brass door knocker. Traffic.
All right, Cyril, traffic.
Traffic, in spite of warnings, cars will flock up. The traffic hears a proper cock-up.
By public demand. Very good, Cyril.
I think that's a great idea.
I think it's absolutely wrong. You see, I take a very serious view of this question, Mr. Moore. Don't have any more, Mr. Moore. I don't think they should be brightened up. This is a serious matter of what you call traffic flashes and all the other flashes that you're talking about. And gale warnings, because they're serious. Chaps at sea who don't think it's awfully funny to know that the blasted boat is suddenly going to turn over and sink. And you make a joke about it. I'd stab you to death if I was a sailor and you were said, jocularly, stand by, fellows, for a gale warning. And you know, for 48 hours, you're going to be as sick as a cat.
The gale warning is only for people who've had baked beans on toast.
I will repeat that.
That's a... That's amused Mrs. Shepherd more than anybody else.
When Ray Moore creates a shindy, you will know he's wet and windy.
I don't see how you can make jokes about these terrible things. And I don't think that announcers who announce the news ought to be allowed to do the light programmes either.
Team, it seems to me that you've all had a pretty good bash at this question. I think it's only right and proper that Mr. Moore should be allowed to let his hair down without the Director General of the BBC hearing.
I think we should inform the audience that Mr. Moore's hair is down already.
All right, Mr. Moore, because he's with it, his hair is down already. Yours is not down because you haven't got enough of it.
He stuffed a mattress.
Get on, Mr. Moore. Mr. Moore, give us your views.
Well, the first thing I would do is recruit these four astonishing voices to the staff of radio announcers right away.
What's the money like?
You don't get money, you get coffee, all except Arthur.
Perhaps Arthur Askey could... where we do the shipping forecast from is the smallest studio in the world, the size of a phone box.
Oh, I know, there's that chain hanging up in the corner, isn't it?
My secretary gets livid, she can't sit down.
And Ted Ray, between each area of the shipping forecast, could perhaps do a gag, a sailor gag.
Sure. And all the audiences say, tar. Yes?
And Jimmy, perhaps if we got a fog warning, could have a burst on the tuba.
My God, please, a euphonium.
You started me thinking I've never had a burst on the tuba.
I'll tell you what, if he does, you better stand clear.
There must be a name for that in the penal code.
Yeah. Now we're back to the beans.
Jimmy.
I hereby sentence you in that you have committed a tubidectomy.
Or a tube of toothpaste.
I think these things could be made a bit more personal, you know, Ray. This causes great distress to Jim when he's travelling to these sordid clubs he plays up and down the country.
They weren't sordid till he played them.
Well, they're great clubs. He plays the best. Well, I'm only joking, really. But if you could just say, during the news, and for Jimmy Edwards, travelling somewhere on the A5, they open at 10:30.
Well, that would be an important item, as a matter of fact, because one of the...
Isn't that preaching to the converted?
No, one of the difficult things about England is that opening times are different all over the country.
Yes.
All round the clock, all every day of the week. Yeah. I'm fighting against that, of course. When I'm Prime Minister, it'll all be changed, you know, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe I won't be Prime Minister, just President Jim. Don't laugh, don't scoff, stupider things have happened.
I must come back to the traffic warnings.
Horses for courses, I
Well, now, that's strange you should say that.
Come back, Ted, always
yes,
forgive me.
Because there was one the other day, and he said, for motorists, an elephant has done a turn on the M1. And all motorists are advised to use this for the moment as a roundabout.
Surely that was on a trunk road.
I have to ask Mr. Moore this question. Having been one of these creatures for years, an announcer, have you ever had a terrifying and embarrassing moment, Mr.
Not till now.
this is one of them.
Let Mr. Moore tell us.
Yeah, there's an occasion when we do the shipping forecast, the forecast for the sailors. And there's two sea areas around the coast of Britain which are called Fair Isle and Faroes.
That's right.
And it's late at night when we do this, and it often gets transposed, so it comes out as Faroe and Fair Isle.
Quiet, wait a minute. Say again.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It often gets transposed as Faroe and Fair Isle.
Ah, yes. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Mr. Moore. Thank you, Alan, very much. Tremendous. If anybody heard me call him Alan Moore just now, I apologise. That, of course, was Ray Moore. Now we have a question from Mr. Chris Woodard.
Have any of the team any ideas for mixing a new cocktail, and what would they call it?
It's a question whether the team have any ideas. Have any of the team any ideas for mixing a new cocktail, and what would they call it?
For me, it's stupid to mix too many alcohols together. I mean, take them one by one. In some quantity is more sensible, I reckon. But they have such extraordinary names, like screwdrivers and things like that. I mean, have you recently had a screwdriver?
Well, there's another one, and it's called Carpenter. I mean, and it has laxative properties.
Oh, Lord.
And when you've had two, you make a bolt for the door.
What a feed line.
There's one called the miniature cocktail.
Yes.
Take one and the miniature out.
And one called the
What about the...
Are you a barman, Mr. Woodard?
I am.
Oh, you are?
You are. You've been called to the bar.
My lord.
Even, come to think of it, I can see that badge. He's wearing a badge, as I thought was a water rat, but it's obviously...
No,
it's a cocktail shaker, isn't it?
It's a shaker, Jim.
It's
I can
a
see
gold
it from
cocktail.
Here.
So you're a prize winner?
UKBG, it says.
United Kingdom Barman's Guild.
Yes.
Right,
yeah,
I've judged.
Fine for him.
If he'd have spent as much time when he was at school learning the Bible instead of being the head barman, he'd be Archbishop of Canterbury.
It's not too late. But seriously, have I judged you? I remember judging a cocktail competition once. Most exciting, I finished on the floor.
And with the you're doing now, good. You will be on the floor.
I gave them all the first prize in the finish.
Mr. Woodard, have you noticed, seriously, there are people coming now and they're abbreviating their orders? They come in and say, may I have a G&T, which obviously is gin and tonic. Have you noticed this, really?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you why. You can take the thing further. They come in and say, a B&S, please, brandy and soda. And then they say, a whiskey and chaser. They say, a WC. And the fellow says, second on the right. Mention my name and you'll get a good seat.
Mr. Woodard, if I asked you for a B&B, what would you give me?
Brandy and Benedictine.
He's quick on the flat.
This lady goes into this bar.
It's a joke.
Of course. A true joke.
It's true. This.
It's perfectly true.
Definitely true.
This lady went in and she said, I'd like a sweet martini. So You know, this barman, an expert like yourself, he made it with the sweet vermouth and the gin and put the little cherry and the
he
stick.
Knows,
and very
knows.
Nice. Said, of course he knows. I'm only just reminiscing.
Yeah, of course.
Another girl came in and she said, I'd like a dry martini, please. So, of course, he put in the gin with the dry vermouth and he put in this olive with a stick. And a navvy was fed up with waiting and was dying of thirst said, can I have a pint with a pickled onion in it?
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mr. Woodward. Thank you. And our team, sitting on my right, we have Mrs. Elizabeth Shaxted. Mrs. Shaxted, what is your question, please?
Well, as youngsters, did any of the team have any compulsive, simple joys like scuffling through drifts of autumn leaves or walking through puddles or kicking the tin along the road? And do they still dare to do any of these things?
As youngsters, did any of the team have any compulsive, simple joys like scuffling through the drifts of autumn leaves, walking through puddles, or kicking a tin along the road? And do they still dare to do any of these things?
Well, I walked through puddles and he was furious.
Jimmy, I walked through a puddle and nearly drowned once. See, you can do the kicking the cans because there's so many cans about today. When I was a kid, we used to kick around a piece of rag tied up with string.
Well, I never walked through puddles because, you see, my family was so poor they couldn't afford to buy me shoes. They used to lace up my feet.
One of the things I used to do is...
Jim.
Always run my ruler along the railing.
It wasn't
and so... I used to sing, if I rule the world...
Jim, do you have any compulsive, simple joys?
Yes, but I don't want to talk about them.
Oh, no.
Now we're back to the things I first think of at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Tell us one of them.
Well, I mean, it's nearly like others, only there used to be a wooden fence near me with those wooden... That wasn't
there is in every prison.
And you used to... used to rattle a stick along, yeah. There was great fun, because the faster you went, the faster it rattled. And
that's
it. And I also used to like to walk... right in the middle of the paving stones, which is difficult.
Missing
when you have
the
tiny,
cracks. Tiny legs.
Do you do any of these things now, Jim?
I've got bigger legs now.
Before we leave, you should say that, Jim, because one of my hobbies was always walking with one foot on the pavement and one in the gutter.
Yes.
Always doing that. My father said to me, if you do that, he says, your legs will go short. And blimey, how right he was.
We always had a family dog, and I used to throw sticks into a pond for this dog. And I would then swim out to the middle of the pond, seize the stick between my teeth and swing back again. And give it to the dog. They loved it.
Before we leave the railings, you know, I used to carry home the girls' books.
Of course, naturally.
This little girl, she was so sweet. And I used to carry her books home from school and do little silly things that young fellas do, you know, to try and impress the girls, you know. I was just a plain, ordinary, brought-up kid, and I used to run my head along the railing. It didn't offer.
Then you got your head caught between the railings once, and they had to get the fire engine out.
Oh, yeah, that's
you could get your head caught between the goalposts, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Mrs. Shaxted, I think it's only fair to turn our attention to you for a moment.
My greatest weakness is... that there's water, a stream, or a pool or something, I just got to put
you
my
feet
in it.
You must spend a fortune in boots.
Did you ever flick blotting paper?
You've got
she
me.
Hasn't an inkling.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. We used to put carbide in the ink. It didn't half smell.
We used to put bromide in the tea.
Can you see a really lovely puddle?
Another matter altogether. You never knew it was there till the next day.
I think mine's still beginning. Mine's just beginning to work, actually.
Oh, no, no. That's your lime juice from the Boer War, Ted.
Well, I just can't see what you'd get out now. I mean, now, Mrs. Shaxted, wouldn't you? Let's face it, you're not 13 any longer. What you'd get out of kicking leaves about. You should be picking them up and putting them in a bag and tidying the place up instead of kicking them about. Do you realise that somebody just swept them up? And you're kicking them about.
I enjoy myself with things that cost nothing.
Cost nothing? Where do you
live? Cost nothing. And they give me great joy.
Is that an offer?
No.
Thank you, team, very much. Thank you very much indeed. And there, I'm afraid, we must close. Does the team think for today? On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askin, Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners and, of course, our special guest, Ray Moore. This is McDonald Hobley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.